Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, hello.
Hey, freaks.
Guys.
Guys,
you're gonna have to bear with me this episode because I'm
carries on the brim.
I'm experiencing like the worst cold in my adult life.
It's either COVID or
gay cold.
We don't know yet.
It's the gay cold.
I think it's gay cold.
I think so. I don't think
we saw each other on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I feel fucking great.
Fuck you. No, I don't think it's COVID.
But I've already had the gay cold.
Yeah. I want to get checked just because my parents are flying back and I don't want them to be ill.
Super spreaders.
Yeah. So I think it's just straight up cold flu, but it's bad. I never get sick. So I'm like, I have this thing too where I apologize when I'm sick.
You're very like saddened and yeah, you are apologetic and it truly no need to be either.
No, I know. I like
you're melancholy though.
Yeah, because I don't get sick, so I'm like, there's like a weird shame thing of getting sick. Do you know what I mean?
I get that. Mm-hmm. We live in like a
shame-based society.
A shame-based society where literally anything can make you come down with a terrible case of the shamies, and sick is definitely one of them. No one likes a sick person.
No one likes a sick person. And I was like, I posted just a joke photo of Nicole Kidman and I was like, me with a cold, and someone already messaged, you can just say it's COVID, it's okay. And I was like, don't you even start.
Honey, rest assured that he will say it's COVID if it's COVID.
I am ready.
The COVID content will be available to viewers if it indeed turns out to be COVID. I love someone like telling you,
I know.
Shut the fuck up. Literally everyone, shut up. Unless you're going to message me or carry something amazing and supportive, keep it to your goddamn self.
Exactly.
Literally forever. I don't want to know.
I
never, ever, actually, ever, ever, ever want to know.
I will say if I get COVID now, I'll be like, really? After this,
that is a really
like I've been like Chicken Little running around about the sky is falling well before COVID even
for
came.
2 years, literally since this time 2019, we've been forecasting, foreshadowing, and avoiding at all costs.
No,
and that would be just a cruel twist of fate.
It would be. It'd be fitting though.
It would, but I'm rooting for you.
Thanks, Carly.
And my prayers are with you.
Thank you.
And
may the Lord
bless you
me.
And keep you.
It would be very like, I feel like whenever I'm sick, I feel like a Kathy comic.
That's me too, because now, like, when I get sick, I have to take to the bed for days.
I know.
I don't do, like, walking around sick. Like, I'm surprised that you're even potting right now, because I go full-blown cave mode, and I won't eat anything except that soup that I messaged you about.
Oh, I'm going to get it. Simon, I think I'm...
Which will change your life.
Matzo ball soup for lunch.
Yum. Yeah, it's just... I use it as an excuse to eat chicken soup and just, like, live my truth.
Yeah. I'm committed to the pod.
You are. Yeah. You'll pod through thick and thin, pod through the apocalypse, through COVID potentially, through hiding your COVID under the guise of a cold.
It'd be kind of next for us. It would be just everything we've been through together with COVID on this pod. It would be kind of next level if I had COVID and we were podding together.
It'd be a real twist. And also, I hope if you have COVID, then I'm definitely at risk for COVID. So I'll need to go get a little testy test. I would not like that.
It's time to quarantine.
Also, like, I would be so annoyed if I had COVID. I mean, and had no symptoms, like not a single symptom, but it's just like you're COVID positive.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, a great case scenario to be in, obviously, but like,
you're gonna get it.
Very annoying for like loneliness factor, where you're just like, I feel literally fine. Yeah. And I would love nothing more than to live my life and like go just to one place, but you just can't because you're literally just diseased.
If you're sick, if you actually have symptoms and you have it, like, then you can at least be like, well, now I definitely can't go outside.
It's, yeah. Like, you're like, I have to be cozy and just like Postmates.
I have to go like this.
Mm-hmm. I need someone to take care of me.
Speaking of cozy,
you wrap a little blankie.
I felt very cozy watching Succession last night.
I felt so cozy. I fell asleep and then I woke up and then watched what I missed. And it's great to be back with that beautiful family.
It was kind of a, I think, decidedly chill episode to ease us back in. Kendall's manic.
But gearing up for a fucking war, and I'm excited. I love when people go to war. And business war is so, like,
yeah,
cunty and cutthroat.
When Logan Roy says cunt, I was like,
I love it. I
felt that. And Kendall, whenever
he told his son to suck his dick, I also felt that. Do you want to suck my dick?
Every time Kendall smiles, I like a shriek. It's like I don't want to see him smile because he does it so well.
He's so happy with himself and like manic, and I love what a damaged soul he is.
I love him bringing his new girlfriend into his ex-wife's like amazing home, and his ex-wife is like, maybe this can be a moment for us, and he's like, hey, I'm gonna bring in Samantha Ronson's cousin, she's fucking hot.
No, her sister.
Her sister. It's her sister. Yeah, sorry, I'm gonna bring her in, and she's like, oh yeah. It's like, I was like, oh, I want him to get back with her, but also I don't want her to be,
no, she's better off.
Better off with
also her. When he's like, it was so fucked up, like, when he's like, oh, I'm gonna, is it okay if I, like, invite Naomi over? Like, I think she's really good for me. And she's like, yeah, totally. And he's like, whose razors were those in the bathroom? Like, tell me. And she's like, I don't want to talk about this with you. And he's like, what, I don't give you enough money that you can't afford the And I was just like, God, you're such a prick.
He can't help himself.
He sucks. Yeah. Just sucks. I love his wife, his ex-wife, his baby mama.
Shiv, girl bossing around.
Shiv is so hot.
I love that.
I love her and her husband.
I love that actress, Tom, that plays the lawyer. Mm-hmm. She's been in a bunch of, I forget her name. She's amazing. She was the one who, like, everyone thought bit Beyonce, I think.
Oh, the Sonala Thon. Yeah. Lathan?
Yes. She's.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, is that Sonala?
What a weird.
Sure enough. I know.
She's like,
remember that? Like, everyone was like,
everyone was like, who did it? And she was like,
who bit Beyonce?
And she's like this like accomplished actress, and they're like, you bit her. And she's like, no, I didn't bite Beyonce.
Did we ever get to the bottom of who bit Beyonce? Does it even matter?
No, who spread that? Tiffany Haddish? Wasn't it her?
Yeah.
She was like,
I think so.
Which is so funny. I love her.
I know. That actually makes it hysterical.
Tiffany Haddish brings, she's so like, she just loves to dish. And I just love that she's like not afraid to be on the red carpet and just talk shit.
It's a full disclosure moment. Real quick, also, I had the true pleasure of watching maybe the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life on this planet on Friday night.
Halloween Kills.
I mean, that was pretty bad. I watched that on Saturday and got really darked out by it.
We don't even need to, we'll talk about it on a bonus this week.
We'll talk, yeah, we'll go into Halloween Kills on the bonus.
I need to talk.
Because we need to really unpack that, yeah. Kyle Richards, great actress, cast her in more shit. She's incredible.
Genuinely, we're being serious. She's...
No, I'm not kidding.
She's actually the best part of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Amen. No, I watched the movie Music.
No.
Sia's masterpiece.
Absolutely not.
It is so shocking at every turn with just how terrible it is, and it's also just shocking, like, when you think about how many millions of dollars were utterly wasted. Like, you would have actually done a better service for the world if you had just like lit those on that money on fire and kept like an unhoused person warm for the night. Yeah. like a bonfire. A one night bonfire would have, of $16 million would have been better than making the movie Music, which ultimately helps truly not a single soul.
It's shocking that Kate Hudson was nominated for a Golden Globe.
Okay. Someone like, this is what makes me, I mean, I don't believe in award shows anyways, but truly the fact that that actually happened, which I didn't know until now, that renders everything 1000% meaningless, and there is no God. I would even go so far as to say, because Kate Hudson is also completely out of control in this movie. I believe that she believes she's playing like a 25-year-old, and her head is shaved inexplicably, and she dresses like a Red Scare listener. And she just looks like a woman in her 40s LARPing as like a 20-year-old dime square like thotty. And I'm shaken to...
Does it take place in New York?
The core of my being. I don't know. No one knows. I think it's in LA. It could be like LA. It takes place in like nebulous downtown area.
It could be in like Buffalo.
It could be anywhere.
Rochester.
And it's just shocking.
It could be Salt Lake.
It could be Salt Lake on a sunny day. It really is like very nebulous. And it stars Maddie Ziegler as a nonverbal autistic girl named Music, whose grandmother slash caretaker dies of a stroke. And then Kate Hudson is like her addict older sister who comes in to, I guess, like, try and help Music. But then she's also basically like, I want to drop this bitch off at the nearest home. Like, and then does actually take her to a home at one point and almost leaves her there. But then she realizes, like, no, I'll keep Music around.
So it's basically like Rain Man.
But not good.
It's a
nonverbal, so... I mean, she says like a couple things, but it's...
Why not just cast a nonverbal autistic person?
You could not. Well, I don't think you could like have a person in that role that is nonverbal autism suffering, like had those same triggers, because you couldn't like have a person like that on set, I don't think.
Yeah.
But it's also just... if like that's the case, you probably just shouldn't make a movie about
totally
that. Or make them verbal.
Also,
there's an idea. Give them some lines.
Yeah. Also, Kate Hudson already did a movie like this. It's actually good. Minus the
Called Raising Helen.
Raising Helen.
That we all loved.
That was actually like one of her best, maybe her best role.
It was peak Hudson. I don't know why she has to sully her
also
legacy with a movie like this. Also, it starred one of the guys from Hamilton as an African man with AIDS as like a side character, which I was just like, there was no need. There was just not a need for an AIDS storyline. A B storyline. His, like, a movie about him as a main character would have been like, oh, let's go down this road and explore this.
He's just, but like just
casually
character.
Throwing him in as like the token, like, person of color, and then being like,
he has
you
AIDS.
Can't just be black. You have to actually be from Africa, and you're gonna have AIDS. Sia, says Sia.
Jesus Christ.
Her vision.
I remember Sia like took to Twitter and defended her movie kamikaze style and was like going after people. And someone was
came
like,
after all, like a ton of autistic people that like who tweeted at her. And she just dissed them one by one.
They were like, why couldn't you just cast someone with autism? She goes, maybe we tried to, but they just weren't good. I was like,
yeah, I think
okay.
Honey. Savage, honey, not the one. Also, I guess that people with autism or like neurodivergent people at that level can't even watch this movie because it has so many like strobing lights in the musical scenes that it could send them into a fit. So the people that she's made the movie about, like
can't
that community,
watch.
Can't even engage with her art, which is a next level troll and also next level creative vision. And I'm almost just like, it's incredible. I mean, it's a travesty that this movie exists. It truly is the worst movie I've ever seen. But also,
were you laughing?
Fascinating.
At it?
I was crying.
Wow.
Kate Hudson's like singing in it.
No.
And then at the very end of the movie, spoiler alert, she starts to get a crush on the neighbor who's the African man with AIDS, and she relapses and gets drunk and then tries to hit on him, and she's trying to make out with him, and he's like, lady, like, back the fuck off. And she goes, I don't even care about AIDS. And like, and then he's like, get away from me. Then she's like, well, I'm giving up and I'm gonna put music in a home. Then she like takes music to this institution and it's like dark and she's like, JK, like, we're busting out of here. Which, in between the scene where she's like dropping her off and busting out, she takes the time to like put on a full tutu and a frosted lip and like weird earrings. She's also inexplicably in like a sports bra the entire time.
So she's unwell.
She takes music. She's unwell. She's a mentally ill person. She's actually like worse for music to have around. Like, music is unsafe in her presence, I would say. She takes music and goes and crashes the African guy's brother's wedding, goes right into the wedding with music, and then they sing a song. They like play a piano and then music mutters a song onto the stage in front of a wedding part. Like, they're in the middle of a wedding.
They're like, who are these fucking people?
Who are these fucking white people that are on stage, like, singing, like, barely singing a song? It's so, I'm like, no one would accept this. Like, in what world is this, like, okay behavior?
Wow. I mean, did you see Book of Henry?
No.
Maddie Ziegler's other foray into film. She's made some real stinkers. This movie, I went with friend of the pod, Sam Lansky, and I was literally, like, my stomach hurt. I was laughing so hard. And it was,
what's it about?
Naomi Watts has, like, two sons, and the oldest one is, like, a genius. And he thinks his neighbor next door, Maddie Ziegler, is being molested by her stepfather. And so he dies of cancer midway through the movie, the kid. And he leaves a book.
The genius kid?
Yeah, he leaves a book of instructions for his mom, Naomi Watts, to kill the stepfather. Like,
does she?
She tries to. She takes a sniper rifle and goes into the woods behind the house and, like, tries to snipe him. And Jacob Tremblay is in it as the younger, like, brother who's normal. And
classic.
Sarah Silverman plays a waitress who works. Naomi Watts lives in this incredible like mansion that the son has secured for them through stocks because he's doing the stock market. But she's a diner waitress, and Sarah Silverman is this alcoholic waitress who works with her and is like her best friend, and she calls her Toots, and she always tries to hit on Henry. It's like really weird. And they go, let's go see Aunt Sarah Silverman, and they go over to her house, and she's sleeping on a on a park bench with a goblet of Carlo Rossi, and they go, oh God, look at you, you slept out here again. And she's like, yes,
silly Billy.
And they go inside, and they open a bottle of wine and start drinking. It's crazy. Natalie Ziegler's in it, and it's just watch it. It's unbelievable. The guy who did Jurassic World directed it.
Oh my God, what the fuck? The thing is too, like, Maddie Ziegler's actually the least offensive part of the entire movie. Like, she's pretty good. I bought what she's selling, but she needs to, like, someone needs to rip her out of Sia's clutches. Like, Sia is Svengali-ing Maddie and ruining her life.
Sia has, like, Rasputin'd the Ziegler family.
She has. Like, all Maddie Ziegler does is, like, Sia's bidding.
Like, let her be, like, JoJo Siwa and, like, be an actual child.
Yeah, or just, like, release her. Let her go and do her own thing. Maddie needs new representation. Maddie needs, like, a full career overhaul. Because she's talented, but it's just, like, what the fuck?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
I love to, like, in the early interviews, which she did no press for this movie, but Kate Hudson, she tromped all over the red carpet and was, like, living for her role. It was probably, like, she realized it was the last role she's ever going to get, so she might as well make the most of it, soak up the attention while she's still got it, because truly, where do you go from music? Her character's name is Kazoo. Zoo, for short.
I know, I saw the movie and I was like, this is very, I saw the trailer and I was like, it's extremely Toon Yards, a band.
And that, the fucking, like, musical scenes,
no,
which I believe were shot after principal photography and just put in, they are so hideously ugly, like, it made me feel like I was gonna have a seizure. And it just, like, offended my every sensibility. And they were just, like, so horribly photo, like,
terrible.
Horrible color schemes, horrible choreography, just everyone involved, yeah, from start to finish should be ashamed and humiliated. But Maddie Ziegler basically said I was having, like, panic attacks because I was really worried about playing this character. And, like, I didn't want to do this. And Sia was just like, you have to do this. And so she just, like, forced her to... She's a minor. Like, honestly, this should be illegal. She just forced her into playing, like, a nonverbal autistic girl. It's truly...
You will do this.
I was like, imagine watching, being a producer and watching the dailies come in and be like, yes, we are so on the right track here. This is the story we've been, the world has been waiting for.
They were like, Sia has Ellen DeGeneres in her corner. We have to make this movie.
Sia also has a cameo in the movie as herself.
I need to watch it.
Imagine being, like, friends with Kate Hudson and then having to be like,
you know, who led the charge in my life of being like, I will never see that movie and I want it to be destroyed? Simon. Simon saw a trailer for that and was like, what the fuck?
It's the perfect movie to, like, take a bong rip and watch and, like, cry at. But, like, it actually, like, I don't even believe in, like, burning books or, like, destroying art, but this could get destroyed and it would be, like, okay for everyone.
Society would be better.
It, like, shouldn't, it, society actually would, like, it should not exist. And the fact that it slipped through this many cracks and, like, it came out in theaters, like, some people, like, paid money to go to a movie theater and sit and take this piece of shit in. And then people literally voted. The Hollywood Foreign Press was like, guess what? We love Kate Hudson in this. We're going to nominate her. And then she was like, well, I'm going to the show. That's insane. Like, the world is not a real place anymore.
It hurts to laugh right now, so I can't. Well, I'm going.
I'm going to go. She got called. And then her stat, like, she called up a stylist who was like, I'm going to style you. You're going. And then she, like, Instagrammed about it. And I'm just like, wait, for this? You did that for this.
Laura, please stop.
I'm worried. What does Goldie think of that movie? Has her family seen it?
Yeah, they probably all watched it. They're like ranch in Aspen.
She's definitely made the people close to her in her life watch this movie.
Her hot younger brother
in
watched
a non-ironic way. Yeah, mm-hmm. And been like, so what do you think?
Kurt Russell had to watch that movie.
She's forced many people around her to engage with this art.
Her whole like posse of Malibu girls had to watch it.
Yeah. And they probably all like, she probably made Nicole Richie watch it. Do you think Nicole was honest with her? I want to know who was honest with Kate about her role.
Actually, she probably was.
If you were a friend.
The Foster sisters.
She might have been. Mm-hmm.
The Foster sisters were like, this is trash.
Why did you do this? Like, does Kate really think it was good, or was she just like, I'm just gonna commit.
Like,
my career's winding down. And Fabletics. all know what happened with Fabletics. So
she was like, my guru just died, bless her.
My guru, RIP, so I really just need this. And everyone fuck off and let me just do this. Maybe she did get real with people. And she was like, look, I know it, you know it. But I just want to go to the Globes one last time. And they were like, okay. We won't say anything. We all know what's really going on, Kate. She said, thank you for letting me have this.
On that note,
let's get into the reason why we're here.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
You're listening to Sexy Unique Podcast. Salty Utah Queens.
Salty Utah Queens.
I'm like speaking in Erica.
It's EJ Global for sure. It's a little Barlow, ladies.
Ladies, I can't. I just wrote, here we go. Whitney walking up to,
you're like Mario. Here we go. Isn't that what he says in like Mario Kart?
Yeah. Whitney walking up to the gym killed me. She was like this.
She approaches every scene with the same energy, and I respect that about her.
She just looks like a real doll.
Mm-hmm. She is a blow-up doll.
She's meeting Lisa Barlow to do ribbon swings.
Like aerial silks.
Ribbon swings.
They're just doing like what Pink does.
Yeah.
Is that a workout?
We saw her.
We did, and she fucking owns it.
Lara was crying.
I cried at the Pink concert twice. It was so good.
I just thought, of course, Whitney would love this.
Yeah. Lisa goes, I haven't worked out in 9 years. That's a wild. That's like, she's looking great.
I
for
know.
Someone who just doesn't have to exercise. What's that like?
She's very triggered by John's gym vibe.
Yeah.
She takes it personally, which I kind of relate to.
I know. I've been there too.
John, every time John goes to the gym, Lisa goes, it's very triggering for me.
It's incredibly triggering for me. And then the guy from Onyx Gym is like explaining how they like mount their aerial silks.
I loved him. He was like this little thing, this little wisp of thing running around.
She goes, okay, 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 let's do this. And then she was great at it.
When she gets up there, she goes, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I don't believe her that she doesn't work out.
Me neither. I'm like, you look like you work out. She looks like a wealthy woman who exercises.
I think she wants the persona of like, I eat fast food and I don't work out. And look at me, mother of two.
Maybe she just has like wild genes. But like, or she's walking like 20,000 steps a day.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah. Maybe she just goes on walks, but she doesn't consider that a workout. Maybe she and John are just having marathon sex.
They might be. Whitney is Harley Quinn.
She is Harley Quinn.
She goes, my stage name, if I was a dancer, is Randy Starr. I was like, okay. It's like not fun.
I'm Jasmine on the red carpet.
I'm Jasmine on the magic carpet, she says.
On the magic carpet.
And Whitney's like, really?
And I'm Jasmine on the magic carpet.
That's the full name. Whitney goes, really? That's like, she goes, that's not a good name. I was like, Randy Starr isn't much better.
Yeah, Randy Starr.
Taking it way too seriously.
Makes me think of Randy Quaid.
Yeah. Eve Quaid. Evie Quaid should be a Real Housewife.
Oh my God, if only. Meanwhile, Robert Sr. has finally come back home from being in Florida for a year. He figured out that you actually can fly. And so he was like, I'm going to come home.
He plugged in his TV that was unplugged the whole time and was like seeing the news. And he was like, oh.
Yeah, Mary told him, she was like,
lights are grounded.
No electronics are working. Don't plug anything in. And so he just sat in like with no electricity for a year until he thought, maybe I'll just try and see for myself. Yeah. And then he figured out the world still was turning and that he was going to head back to Salt Lake.
I think I understand Mary a little more from this episode. I think she's so weird about Robert Jr. leaving and like being on top of him because she doesn't want him to leave. Because then it's just going to be her and Robert Sr.
Yeah, I really like, I saw her for the first time almost.
Me too. It kind of made me feel sad for her.
I'm sad. I am sad for her. I get her like not wanting him around. What kind of hell would that be? She enjoyed like having just a year to vibe with Robert Jr. and like be alone and not have her husband that she hates, who's also her step grandfather,
who like I feel like
loafing around the house,
kind of forced into a marriage with him.
Yeah,
her life was sort of taken away from her.
She goes. Oh, what? COVID?
No, I just think COVID made her really realize, like, she never got a chance to be independent.
Mm-hmm. She goes, when he gets comfortable, I start thinking of places he can go.
Heaven. She goes, I don't think we
leave
know.
Leave him, girl. Mm-mm.
I was like, you're saying this now?
Kill him, girl.
Yeah. She goes, want to know how I know that? She goes, because when he prepares rice, she goes, I like short grain rice. He likes long grain. And whenever I get rice made and he prepares it, it's always short grain. And I'm like,
how does he not know that about me?
How does he not know that about me? And I'm like, you know what? That's very specific, but it's indicative.
He doesn't care. Why would he care? He literally got to like marry a 19-year-old when he was a grandfather.
That's so fucked up. I'm sorry.
Do you think like men in that situation give a rat's ass about anything? Like, that woman is basically an object and a vessel to them.
Yeah. What kind of rice?
He's sick.
He is sick.
I said, truly, kill him, girl.
Kill him.
Kill him, queen. All you have to do is, like, a little bit of poison. Push him over.
Yeah,
like,
just a tiny...
teeny bit of poison. You could just, like, trip him. You could... just push him down the stairs, just nudge him a little bit.
He's not the only man I wish ill upon this episode.
I know. Cut the brakes to his car. Go for like a ski thing,
yeah.
And then leave, like have a wolf attack him.
Or just leave him.
Leave him.
Leave him at the top
of
the
mountain. Be like, he had a heart attack, I'm gonna go get help, and then let him freeze to death.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many options. Utah seems like a very great place to, like, kill someone.
Oh, for sure. Or just go missing.
Totally. Snowmobile accident.
Rapture.
Yeah.
Lisa takes to a fish spa, which always makes me feel really sick whenever I see this.
I, up until this moment, have always wanted to go to a fish spa, and then this, I was like, actually, I never want to do this.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's sick.
I just wrote...
Fish kiss spa.
I wrote, I want Lisa Barlow to become a bodybuilder.
She would be a good bodybuilder.
Yeah, just do like shows where she's like fit girl.
Just showing off all her like bikini muscles.
Yeah.
I want her to have like, I want her to lean it so far into working out that she does get into bodybuilding, but then becomes like just like an inspirational figure.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's like, you have to do it. You have to push yourself. Who's pushing themselves today? Ladies, let's go. And like have like protein powders and like power bars, a line of fitness gear, a line of bikinis, like bike shorts.
She's like Jillian Michaels, but without the abuse.
Did Jillian abuse someone?
No, I just think she's insane.
Oh, because she was on like Biggest Loser or whatever.
She was just like kind of mean.
Screaming at people to lose weight.
Yeah.
That's like not a great last scene look. No, Lisa would just go pure motivation. Also, I just have to say, these fish kiss places seem like a breeding ground for like a bacterial infection of some sort.
Totally amoeba zone. It's like an amoeba. Amoeba, like
Lisa gets,
yeah.
No, yeah.
Lisa's like, I'm...
Lisa says she gets 2 pedicures a week. That's too many.
That's Mormon perfection right there.
You really only need 1 pedicure a week if you're getting any. Like, how dry are her little hooves?
It might be, maybe she has like the driest feet ever.
She has incredibly dry feet and her nails grow like so long that she has to get them sawed down twice a week to just keep things in check. 2 times a week is too much.
She was like cursed by an imp when she was a little girl who was like, you will grow hooves for feet.
So she has to get pedicures to keep her little hooves from growing or else she'll go full goat lady.
Jenny and Meredith meet her. Meredith, by the way, says like 3 words this whole scene.
Meredith's back to just like zoning out on painkillers.
Jenny breaks my heart.
She's had a really rough go of it. She talks a lot about her miscarriage journey.
She goes, I have an issue with my marriage. And then Lisa goes, what?
She starts talking about like this. She's had a bunch of miscarriages, and then there was one in particular where she lost a baby at 42 weeks after an emergency C-section, and it truly is like so tragic and sad. And Jenny's crying, and she's telling about how she was sedated, so she didn't see it happen, but Dewey, her husband, was like front and center for the whole thing. He was really traumatized, and she's crying, and Lisa goes, are you okay? It's like, no, she's not.
And Dewey, I think his trauma and his grief, he's not gone to therapy or processed it, so his way of coping with it is just obsessively demanding that his wife have another child to make up for the daughter they lost. And she said,
yeah.
She said when she came to from sedation, he came in and shook his head and said, I'm very sorry that I can't protect you. I was like, what? It was just like a weird, like, yeah. He seemed almost like he was mad at her. That's the vibe I got. No?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I can't imagine what it would be like to go through something like that. Just like so.
Yeah.
So terrible. But also I'm like, okay, this woman, like, it is now like a risk for her to even try and get pregnant again, I'm assuming. Also, it's like all the signs, like biologically and anatomically, are telling you that it's like not gonna happen with her, and she doesn't want to do it. So like, get it through your thick skull and shut the fuck up and like enjoy your life. Like, what are you bumping on here? I don't get it.
It's a little Gilead.
It's really weird. Why do you need...
Well, you find out later.
Why do you need kids? You have 3. You freak.
He's so...
You literally have like a farm of kids. 3 is a lot of children.
I can't with this guy.
Me neither. And at first I was like, we'll get to it, but... Yeah, I have even more thoughts. Meredith recommends couples counseling, and I was like, sensible queen.
Yeah. We cut over to the only time we see Jen Shaw, thank God, this episode. She's shopping for emeralds with Stuart.
Yeah, she and Stu Chains hit the promenade of Park City. She goes to buy jewels with, like, stolen elderly people's money.
The FBI is just checking off everything she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just wrote...
And she's going to buy a bunch of snowflake necklaces. It's hideous. I don't want a snowflake necklace.
Stuart looks like someone who... Like a family annihilator. He does.
He does, yeah.
Like, he looks like some, like a, you can see his mugshot, like, this man murdered his family.
He looks unwell, like he's slowly dying from the inside out.
He probably is.
His dirty conscience is, like, catching up to him and manifesting physically.
Jen settles on, like, 3,200 a piece fucking snowflakes as, like, an amends to her, to the group for just being, like, a wretched bitch.
And yeah.
I wrote...
No one wants these, like, what? Don't waste your money.
So I would flush that shit down the toilet if I got a snowflake.
I'd turn it right over to the FBI. I know. Just go, thank you, and then put it in an envelope and just send it to FBI headquarters.
It's, like, implicating everyone.
Yeah. I don't want your fucking...
Blood money, like, snowflake.
Ugly necklace bought with, like, blood money.
She's so twisted to me.
Get away from me.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Heather and Ashley. Heather has, like...
This episode also, can I just point out, was 35 minutes long.
It was so short, guys.
Why was it so short?
I feel fortunate that it's so short, and, like, because right now I'm not in the place, so I'm seeing it as a god shot.
Yeah, it was like, it's meant to be for you, but I'm also like, why so short?
Because I think they just...
I can't imagine watching this live with, like, literally 25 minutes of ads. Who wants 25 minutes of commercials to get through a 35-minute episode?
A lot of people were tweeting about it last night.
How short it was?
No, just the episode.
Oh, they were, like, loving it?
I didn't hear any... I feel like we're both the only people I saw that are talking about how short it was.
We're episode-length truthers, because I usually won't watch live, or if I do, I can, like, at least fast-forward, and then if I miss it, I refuse to engage with commercials, so I just watch on Amazon Prime.
I guess that's what it is. We're just watching it without commercials, so we're like, wait, it's like...
No, but they're usually 44 minutes, or, like, at least 43 minutes. They're not 35 after the intros.
I think they were like, this episode is really dark, so we're going to make it as short as possible. Heather gives her daughter the sex talk while her daughter's deciding between San Diego State and UCSB for college.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know, should I live with two girls or one girl? And then she's like, I'm kind of thinking three. And then Heather's like, you know, threesomes are hard. Someone always feels left out. And I was like, Heather, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Stop making a threesome joke with your daughter. Like, what?
Also, it's just like, yeah, it's very awkward and very like, have this discussion on camera. And she talks about like their cat Stormy
getting like gangbanged.
Yeah, and being like, she learned the hard way. And I'm like, okay, that's not a great outlook on sex. But she comes Like, she says one thing where I was like, okay, that's chic, where she's like, I just want Ashley to understand consent and understand desire. And that's all you, yeah, that's all you really need.
Yeah, you don't, I mean, I remember when my dad gave me the sex talk when I was like, I think I was like 16 or 17. We were driving and he was like, I just want to make sure you know. I was like, Dad, like, it's all good. And he's
like, you know what sex is.
Yeah. And I just was
too
like,
late, babe.
And he just started telling me, and I just was like, the whole time he was telling me, I was going,
What did he say? He was like, you have a penis and a girl has a vagina. You're like, the wasted words. I don't need to know that.
Yeah. This is all lost on me.
You're like, oh, daddy, oh, I won't know.
Just wait.
Wait, what did he say? He was like, you put your penis in a woman?
No, Laura, I was literally going like this. Like, I was, I heard fluids.
My mom read me a book when I was, like, in fourth grade. And, or, like, pretty young. But I still didn't understand. I didn't know that women had vaginas. Like, I just thought your vagina was just, like,
you were so...
your labia, and but I didn't know that it was like also a hole that like a baby then came out of. So, and my mom read me a book, and we just both like laughed because she was like, the penis is sometimes soft and spongy, and then showed me a picture, and then I've always just like a spongy penis. She just, like, made us laugh, and then she like read me this whole book, and I was like, cool, got it. And then I just kept thinking for years that babies came out of women's butts, because that's like the only like frame of reference. I was like, that makes the most sense to me. And I asked her to get me that book, like A Miracle Is Born, or some, there was some really graphic like birth book, but really I kind of just wanted to look at like women's engorged, like pregnant breasts. And then like, and then I would look at the photos of them having a baby, and it still looked like it was coming out of their butt. And I was just like, that's crazy. And then it took a few years for me to like put everything together.
Imagine how we entered the
But
world.
I was also, yeah, I was just like, whoa. It truly took a long time to really wrap my head around a vagina.
I think I thought vagina was vagina for a long time.
I also recall being in a place of vagina as well.
Which is such a funny word, vagina. Like, I was like in seventh grade when I confirmed it was vagina. Vagina.
Yeah, vagina. I think a lot of people lived in a world of vagina. It was like very common experience for people.
I know. Oh my God.
Because it's also when you're a kid, you're not like, like the concept of, you don't understand like a vagina.
I know. Yeah.
Like, your vagina does not serve, like, that much of a purpose until you're having your period, really. So it really is, like, shocking to realize it's there.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I remember, like, when they divided our class for the sex talk. The girls were in one classroom and we were in the other, and we could see each other. They gave us all deodorant.
I love that. They're like, stop stinking up the joint. Yeah, I feel like I was, like, kind of starting to get it. I was like, oh, the uterus and ovaries, like, I understand there's like this thing.
There's this thing.
There's this,
the
like
vagina.
The Nicki Minaj meme. There's this thing called the vagina.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so if your kid's 16 and you're trying to talk to them about sex, they already fucking know.
We're like,
it's too late.
Don't make a joke about
and you really things. Need to do a better job of explaining vaginas to girls.
Vaginas are bust.
Vaginas are there's a lot of vagina confusion out there.
The vagina monologues.
Let's put an end to that. Let's end vagina confusion.
Vagina rights.
The vagina monologues. That's just kids talking about what they know about vaginas.
Whitney and Justin meet the Barlows at this place that I for a second thought was Toscana. Cucina Toscana. And then I realized it was Park City.
Park City. I think this show just only takes place in Park City.
I know.
but as it should.
Yeah.
Because Park City seems highly desirable. But I'm dying to go to Niño Viejo.
old child.
Nothing like an authentic Tex-Mex meal in old Park City, Utah. Looked so good, though.
I have to say, the whole dynamic of this is just Whitney and Lisa out trying to, like, out passive aggressive each other. Whitney's wearing basically a bikini top.
Yeah. Big, she steps up to the host.
Big natural. Whitney,
like, approaches everyone as though she's about to, like, fuck them senseless.
She does.
She's entering, like, ready for a gangbang at every place she goes. Like, willing gangbang participant. She's like, we're here to meet the Barlows. It's so sexual. I love it. It's,
yeah.
It's hot. Her tits are out. She's in a midriff-bearing look with, like, a shearling leather jacket. She looks sexy.
Her big rose tat is showing.
Her big, huge rose tattoo.
Big knockers.
Her knockers. Being like, we are here to meet the Barlows.
They go, the Barlows are already sitting, and she goes, great.
Great.
Lead us there.
How are you just, like, channeling that sexual energy 24/7? She is just, I guess, a highly sexual person.
She is.
It's cool.
Lisa, they have, like, John and Justin, like, love each other.
Yeah.
Lisa orders them Vita tequila margs, which I was like, ugh. God, love her.
Love it. I love
Whitney it. Whitney goes, Lisa, it was so hard to get here. She goes, at one point, we drove down a dark alley, and I thought, wow, Lisa, where are you taking us? And Lisa was like, ha ha. Fucking kill you.
So great to come up here. I love coming up here, making it up here every once in a while. She goes, Aubrey, my friends, Aubrey and Marco own it. They're the hottest chef couple.
And then Whitney goes, ah, I see. And then...
now I know what is going on.
Whitney pieces it together, Miss Sleuth. Sleuth, sleuth, sleuth. She pieces it together that Lisa has brought her here to prove her innocence in the court of Angie. In the court of LGBTQ charities.
Like... I'm not mad at that. If you're going to invite me to a delicious dinner and then introduce me to the chef couple who's going to give us, like, free shots and tacos and stuff, I'm like, okay, cool. And they also want to prove their innocence.
So,
also, reminder, aren't they all innocent?
Yeah, a reminder that these are the caterers that backed out of Angie's casino night for LGBT charity. And it kind of made it seem like, one, Lisa sabotaged, and two, that they were, like, transphobic.
But I mean, to my knowledge, also have to clarify that I don't care beyond just watching this show. Like, I don't care what happened. Never will. But from what I saw on Instagram, Lisa is innocent.
Yeah.
And so...
Whitney goes, are you kidding me? They come over and they're like, Tevita tequila. And they all start, the chef and his wife come over, start taking shots. And then Whitney goes, are you kidding me? This is staged. And they all go, oh. And then Aubrey has, like, the most over-the-top reaction. She's going, oh.
They start the conversation, they're like, cheers. And they go, yeah, so we had to cancel. Like, we couldn't make it out on a Friday to Angie's, like, party. And then Whitney, are you kidding me? This is so fucking staged. Aubrey's clutching her pearls.
And Lisa goes, oh my god, I'm so confused right now. And I just wrote, Lisa's possessed by Pazuzu. Her voice, like, drops at one point.
Oh my god, I am so confused right now. And then Whitney goes, I'm sorry, Angie. And she goes, her name is Aubrey.
She goes, sorry, I'm so heated right now.
I'm emotional. I have emotion.
This is staged.
But where did the rest of the scene go?
I don't know.
Like, 35 minutes. I was like, who turned in this final episode? Did someone just not watch it? And they were like, okay, we're good to go. Because the scene needed an ending.
Yeah. Oh, are you fucking kidding me? This is staged. Oh, this is staged. She sounds like Henri. Yes.
Say it again.
It's so good. Oh, this is sad.
No, are you kidding?
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is so staged. How dare you?
Are you kidding me? This is so fucking staged.
This is so fucking staged. Yeah, so we just cut immediately, awkwardly, to a tennis court. Mary walks out in a Tom Brown.
Full Tom Brown.
She goes,
Tom Brown head to toe.
She goes, smells like feet.
Smells like stinky feet in here. And Meredith's wearing a little like fur with a tennis skirt, looking so chic, so youthful. And then she lobs Mary some balls, and Mary actually has no idea how to play tennis, even though she suggested it. And Meredith suspects that maybe she just suggested it for the outfit, which was correct.
They have a chat about Mary and Robert Sr., and it sounds like Mary's envious of Meredith and Seth's dynamic, where Seth is gone for extended periods. Because she's like,
she admires their relationship.
Yeah, I just think Mary's traumatized by her life.
Yeah. I like her pulling back the curtain on her and Robert Sr.'s relationship.
Yeah. Oh.
But also, can't she just, like, divorce his ass? No. Isn't she, like, the god?
No. They are bound forever.
They're bound forever? He's the chosen one? I thought she was, like, a god and can do anything she wants. Only through him?
Yeah, she's mother god. I feel like she won't get any money if they divorce.
Yeah. That's why you gotta just...
And then all of a sudden Whitney comes out and goes, oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh.
She's French.
Are you kidding me?
She's like...
This is so fucking staged.
She's French Canadian. Oh no, this is so fucking staged.
Oh, this is fucking staged.
Oh, let's go... Let's go out now.
I love Mary saying, she goes, if Robert Jr. leaves, then it's just me and Robert Sr. being together all the time. And I just find that strange.
Yeah, she goes, I just find that kind of weird.
She goes, I don't want to get to know him.
Yeah, I don't
like him. I would change everything about him. I love her. I love a woman just outright being like, I hate my husband. If you can't get divorced and you can't kill, the next best thing is to go on national television and talk about how much you hate your husband.
Or just cryogenically freeze yourself to a time when you can wake up and your husband's dead and you can just live your life.
Wake me when he's passed. Yeah.
Oh,
are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is so fucking staged.
This is so fucking staged. Jenny.
When Meredith at one point asked, she was like, so what sports did you play growing up? And Mary goes, I horsebacked ride a lot. I love her. Like, I want to see her like take to a horse, like equine.
Yeah, Miss Equine. I'm now speaking in a French accent.
I don't know. Love you. Love you.
This is what
pride.
The gay cold.
Lots to celebrate.
Makes you speak in a French accent.
I go, are you kidding me? This is so fucking staged.
And I go, oh no.
Oh no, I am sorry.
Jenny and her husband are day out love passing around on the mountain. I fucking hate him.
I know. This is another moment where I was like, kill him, girl.
I was just like, the only solution with this husband is castration.
Death.
Death
to them all.
Death.
No, like,
death what? To them all. I just
death went, to them all.
He just again is like, please, will you give birth? He goes, I want more children to replenish this wicked earth. I was like, ew.
This earth with good people. I'm like, you're a fucking psycho for saying that. And that's not a good reason to procreate.
Spreading a seed. And like, germinating.
Focus on the kids that you have who are still children and like very much need you.
She's had 10 miscarriages. A stillbirth. She almost died. Like, she's. Like,
enough is enough. How are you truly not understanding this?
I love Jenny.
Then he's like, so I guess a surrogate is out of the question.
Jenny goes, look, I literally don't have the energy to chase a baby around. She's like, what don't you get about that? She goes, breastfeeding, being up at all hours. She goes, I don't have time for that. And he's like, why don't we get a sister wife? And I was like,
he brings up adoption where I'm like, I guess you could adopt like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, she's
like, if you really want kids that badly and you want to positively impact a child's life, you should adopt, like, why don't you adopt like a foster family? Like, why don't you foster children then and like open your home up to them? And like, there are many ways to like give, like to do this in a way that actually like benefits people and not just benefits you.
It's not about the child. It's about him. It's about him.
But it's also like, what's wrong with you? Is your brain broken? Aren't you a doctor? You should be smarter than this.
I don't know. He's kind of a woo-woo doctor, I think.
Oh, he's a chiropractor. Okay, yeah.
He suggests getting a sister wife. And she goes, I'm going to pretend you didn't say that to me.
So are you serious? And he goes, yeah.
Pig.
Also, your children have to watch this. So you're basically saying on national television
not enough.
That you would be fine having like a second family. You'd be willing to like torch, you're like down to just torch your marriage and upset the mother of your children so you can what?
Also just
have more babies?
That confirms that it's not about him wanting to have more children with her. It's about he wants to spread his seed.
Just a volume. It's just a numbers game.
Yeah, it's so sick.
It makes no sense though. I'm like, part of me was like, are they just doing this as a storyline? Like they need a storyline for their relationship and to like make TV. But then I started to think like, no, he actually might be serious.
He is serious. He's like all about his like sperm. They're part of some like apocalyptic Catholic cult, I think.
Replenish the earth with good people. That's where I was like, okay, wait, like this is
psycho.
Something much darker is at play here.
Jenny just basically is like, shut the fuck up.
She's like, I'm leaving. I hate you so much.
Time.
Please stop.
She goes, oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, are you fucking kidding me? This is so fucking staged.
This is so fucking staged.
Oh. Are you kidding me? That's Lindsay.
Whitney comes out of nowhere.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? Next week looks good. Mary and Whitney get into a fight, I think. Or Mary and Jenny.
Yeah,
sorry.
Mary's. Mary and Lisa.
Mary Brannigan.
I
think God we have more Mary.
I hope next week's episode is longer than a half hour plus 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll be better by next week.
Will you be better by Thursday? Guys, stay tuned to see. This is a COVID cliffhanger.
I know. Will I be well enough to pot about the reunion? Or will there be, do we need a sister wife to take over for me?
I pray you get better. But I also, if you get COVID, you and I both are going to go, oh, are you fucking kidding me?
I know. I'm literally going like in 5 minutes to get tested. And I'm going to go, oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, no, are you fucking kidding me?
I'll keep you.
This is so fucking staged.
I'll keep y'all posted.
Oh my God, please don't have COVID.
I know. Guys.
Send Carrie love and light. Send it. Do you have an Amazon wish list?
No.
You should make one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Sure.
You should make one.
Sure.
Sure.
Mary Brannigan.
Old Mary Brannigan. I miss her.
I have to go.
What even was Mary? Okay, we'll go. You guys,
love you.
We gotta go. Send Carrie good tidings of comfort and joy, and we'll see you next time. Bye.